If you can turn, as Peter said, to Genesis chapter 26, we're going to read from verse 34 through to chapter 27, verse 41. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food, just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on the younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son, Jacob, the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat, so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him and he ate, and he brought some wine and he drank. Then his father said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered. your son, your firstborn Esau. Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I have made him lord over you, and have made all his relatives his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck." Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of his blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning of my father are near, and then I will kill my brother Jacob."
Morning, everyone. If it's your first time today, my name's Scott, and it's my privilege to bring God's word. Good morning if you're watching us on the live stream as well. It's great to have you with us sharing in this way today. Let's bow in prayer as we ask for God's Spirit to be working through us and in us this morning. Father, thank you so much for this fascinating passage of Scripture. We pray, Lord God, that as we consider it, that you would be giving us minds that are spiritually receptive and hearts that are willing to do your will. And we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hi, my name is, and I'm calling from the bank. I work with the fraud detection team. How are you today? I'm phoning in regards to your credit card. There has been an attempt to make a transaction from your credit card in Mexico. May I ask, are you presently in Mexico trying to use your credit card? The person speaking to you has that warm, professional voice, just as you would expect from your bank, and they may even know some of your personal details. So it's very easy to be drawn in, word by word, step by step, until eventually you give them the information they need to clean out your account. Dreadful, isn't it? Absolutely appalling. The problem is that you just don't know if the person who is speaking to you is the person they claim to be. My bank says if you get a call like that, it's quite okay to just hang up and then phone the bank back yourself. Now, of course, there's nothing new about scamming. With the internet, it's become a sophisticated global industry. But there's nothing new in it because there's nothing new with the human heart, which hasn't changed since the Garden of Eden. And the best known scam in the Bible is a scam which appears in our Bible passage today. A scam perpetrated not by some stranger on the other side of the planet, but by someone within the closeness of the family. The closeness of the family of Isaac. Isaac, who at birth was the miraculous fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham and to Sarah. But in Genesis chapter 27, which you may want to have open, is now an elderly man who is frail, who is blind, and he knows that his life is close to its end. His twin sons, Esau and Jacob, they are now grown up. Esau is married, Jacob is not. But before this chapter begins, the final verses of Genesis chapter 26 signal to us that not all is well in this family. Have a look at chapter 26, verse 34. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. Now, we're not told precisely how Esau's wives were a source of grief to his mother and father, but, you know, in the Bible, God's plan for marriage is one man and one woman together for life. And in the cases in the Bible where a man marries more than one wife, it never works out well. It never worked. Perhaps that's the reason for as to why these wives had caused so much grief. But there's another reason as well. Notice that these are Hittite women. That is, that they are local Canaanites, the kind of women who Abraham did not want his own son Isaac to marry. In fact, it's the reason why Abraham had sent his servant to his own people, to his homeland, to get a wife to bring back for Isaac. And Isaac was given by God a wife who is Rebekah. So here we have Esau, two wives, both Hittites, both Canaanite women. But Esau's wives are not the only problem in this family, for Abraham and Rebekah played favourites with their sons. Esau, the hunter of the open fields, loved more by Isaac, who enjoyed eating the wild game that he hunted down. And Jacob, the quiet stay-at-home personality, loved more by Rebekah. And so now in Genesis chapter 27, at the end of his life, it's time for Isaac to pronounce his blessing. Now, in the Old Testament, the custom was this, that when a man was on his deathbed, that the man would summon all of his sons together and he would pronounce a blessing on each one of his sons, and especially the blessing on the son who would become the new head of the family, normally the oldest son. So, how many sons does Isaac call to his deathbed? Check it out in verse 2. Isaac said to Esau, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food that I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." How many sons has Isaac called to his deathbed? Only one. Esau, his favourite son. Jacob, the youngest son, is not invited. Why? Well, it seems that Isaac just likes Esau's tasty food, a bit like Esau, how he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. And so Esau alone would receive a blessing from Isaac, not Jacob. But in verse 5, it wasn't just Esau who heard what Isaac had said. Because Rebekah was within earshot, she heard everything. Now, this really is a soap opera, isn't it? And we can feel the drama as Rebekah learns that her favourite son will receive no blessing from Isaac. And so the deception begins. Chapter 27, verse 5. Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son, Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Right, now notice that in verse 5, Isaac spoke to his son Esau, and in verse 6, Rebekah spoke to her son Isaac. You can that's how obvious the favoritism is. But the other thing which seems obvious is the scam itself. I mean, really? Really? I mean, as if Isaac, would not know which son was serving him the food. And in verse 11, Jacob, he can see that risk. Isaac can't see him, but he can touch him. And Jacob has very smooth skin, whereas Esau is a very hairy man. And so Jacob is worried. He's not worried that what he's doing to his father is actually wrong and offensive to God. What's he worried about? He's worried that he might get caught. And so Rebekah dresses Jacob up in Esau's clothes. And in verse 16, she uses the skin of those two goats to cover his hands and his neck so that if Isaac does reach out, what is he going to feel? He's going to feel hair. Hair. And yet, seriously? Goat skin? Would Isaac be fooled by that? Well, when someone is elderly and frail, it's not just their eyes that are in decline. It's Isaac's sense of touch may also have been in decline as well. I'll tell you what's not doesn't seem so evidently inclined, and that is that his brain is still working, and so is his hearing. So as Jacob comes to him now with Rebekah's tasty food, Isaac has his suspicions. Suspicion number one is about timing. I mean, you know, Isaac says in verse 20 to his son Jacob, he says, "How on earth did you get out there into the wild fields and hunt down this game, and then get it to my plate so quickly?" Bear in mind that Rebekah and Jacob had to act swiftly so that they're not still serving the food to him whilst Esau walks back in with his food. And the blasphemous response from Jacob to his father is, "The Lord your God gave me success in my hunting." That's suspicion number one, timing. Suspicion number two is what Isaac can actually hear. In verse 22, as he reaches out, the hands feel like the hands of Esau. They're hairy, but the voice sounds a whole lot like Jacob. A whole lot like Jacob. And when he points this out, notice in the text that from that moment on, Jacob doesn't say very much. He shuts his mouth. He only says two words. Two words in response to his father's question, "Are you really my son Esau?" Two words, "I am." We don't hear anything more from him. But it's enough to make his father to want to proceed, to eat the meal and proceed with the blessing. Verse 27. Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed, because he could smell the clothes. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's riches, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. Now, how would you feel, how do you think you would feel if you've not had this experience, but how would you feel when the penny finally dropped and you realised that you've just been scammed? How would you feel? Angry? Violated? Helpless? Helpless? And you got to see that if this was a TV soap opera, we would be on the edge of our seats, because we would see that Jacob just barely made it out of his father's tent before Esau arrived with his food for his father. And that's the moment for Isaac. The moment where in verse 33, he trembled violently because he realized the scam. The penny dropped. And see, in the Old Testament, when the leader of the family pronounced his deathbed blessing, it was considered to be more than just a wish, or even more than just a prayer. It was considered to be something which, under God, would actually happen. Which is why Esau, in verse 34, he literally breaks down in tears, and bitter tears, as Isaac shares the dreadful news that he has blessed Jacob to be the head of the family, that he has blessed Jacob to be the Lord over Esau, that he has blessed Jacob to be provided with all of the food and the wine that is needed, and also that the blessing is not reversible. And so Esau is reduced to begging. Is there anything left to bless me with? Well, in verse 39, his father Isaac answered him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's riches, away from the dew of the heaven above. You will live by the sword and will serve your brother. But when he grows restless, you will throw his yoke from your neck." I mean, what sort of blessing is that? It sounds more like a curse, doesn't it? More like a curse, which actually did come true. See, Esau's descendants became the Edomite nation, the Edomites. And the Edomites did live in barren country to the southwest of Israel. And they were often at war with Isaac's descendants, who were the nation of Israel. And Israel controlled the Edomites. That's how it plays out through the rest of the Old Testament. But there is a hope in what Isaac says here. There is a hope of a blessing, a hope of a blessing in the future, when Esau's descendants would be free from Israel. But that's a hope which meant nothing to Esau, as in verse 41, he plotted his revenge to kill his brother Jacob. Now, this would be a kind of a cliffhanger moment upon which to end this episode of the soap opera, isn't it? So you're hanging out to see what happens next week. Except that it's not over yet, because as Rebecca learns of Esau's plan, she hatches her own plan. And her plan is to extricate Jacob from this danger Her plan is for Jacob to go on a long journey well away from Esau so that Esau can't get to him, for him to go for a journey to her homeland, to Abraham's homeland, and to spend time with her family and her brother Laban. But this is a plan which she must carefully persuade Isaac to agree to. Because if she just spelt it out plainly to Isaac, this elderly dying man, if she just spelt it out very plainly that your favourite son is planning to kill my favourite son, then who knows how Isaac is going to respond to that. And so she is shrewd. Check it out in verse 46. When she goes to Rebekah, to Isaac with her plan, then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I'm disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, the Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living." It's hard for Isaac to say no to this, because after all, this is exactly what his father Abraham wanted for him, which is why he ended up with Rebekah as his wife. And so he agrees. And as Isaac realizes that Jacob is now to be the head of the family, even through a scam, even though it happened that way, in chapter 28, verse 4, he also realizes that because of that, that the promises that God made to Abraham of a people, a land, and a blessing will now be fulfilled through the family line of Jacob. He realizes that. And Esau? Well, in chapter 28, verse 8, when he realized that his father really does not like Hittite women, what did he do? He went out and married two more of them to spite his parents. So, what are we to make of all of this? Last week we saw that when Rebekah was pregnant with twins, she received a prophecy that the older one would serve the younger one. That was a prophecy. Remember that? Remember that? And here, well, in the blessing that Isaac has just mistakenly given to Jacob, that now is fulfilled. And we are told in other parts of the Bible, and particularly in Romans, that it is because God chose Jacob. He chose Jacob. So then, why would God use a scam to bring about his purposes, to cause Isaac to bless Jacob? Why would God use a scam? I mean, what Jacob and Rebekah did was sinful. And yet, they are no different to us. We, in their situation, may well have done the same thing. And the reason for that is that we have all fallen victim to a scam. The greatest scam of all. The scam which has been perpetrated by the one who has been deceiving since the Garden of Eden. The one who in Revelation is described as being the deceiver of the whole world. The one who has scammed us all with his promise of fulfillment through the things of this world rather than fulfillment through the actual blessing of God, our Creator. It's called sin, isn't it? It's called sin. And it's why Isaac's family were just so messed up with deceit and with ambition and with lies. But in his sovereign grace, God uses sinful people to reverse the scam, to achieve his good purpose. When Satan entered Judas, he triggered the actions which led to the execution of Jesus. But through the sinful actions of sinful men, God reversed that great ultimate scam. For by his death, Christ actually paid the penalty for our sins and released us from the bondage of the great deceiver, so that we can be forgiven of our sins. Now, a friend of mine answered her phone one day. It was more a telemarketing call than a scam, although it's hard to tell, isn't it? It's hard to tell. And when the fellow introduced himself, he said, "Hello, my name's so-and-so, and how are you today?" My friend said, "Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you, and I'm so glad that you called, because I've got some really good news for you about an offer that's too good to refuse. Have you ever heard about Jesus?" Not what the telemarketer was expecting, but according to my friend, they end up having a really good conversation about the Lord. And it's a great, it is great news, isn't it? It is an offer that's too good to refuse, because when someone trusts in Jesus, what is it that they receive? In Ephesians chapter 1, if you are in Christ, that what you have received is every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. God has chosen you. God has made a child from you. God has redeemed you through the blood of his son Jesus. God has forgiven your sin, and he has lavished upon you all of the riches, all of the blessings of his glorious grace. And how do we know that it's not a scam? Jesus did not stay in the grave. And friends, if God can use the messy family of Isaac, if God can use Jacob with his deceit and his selfishness to achieve God's good and perfect plan, but guess what? He can also use you, if you're prepared to tell others about Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you so much that in your sovereignty, that your plan is not thwarted by the actions of sinful men, but that you actually turn the tables and you use those actions to bring about your good plan and purpose. Father, we thank you that you've done that for us on the cross of Christ, and that you've changed us. We pray, Lord God, that you would use us, even in the messiness of our lives, to bring about your good purpose and to bring glory to you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.